In other words, when we're approaching this sugya, so that there's a question, there's the primary question in this sugya, and that is, what would make the sukkah puzzle for being too high? Right? What kind of a puzzle is that? In other words, you don't normally have, you have minimal shiurim, right? But what's the puzzle of a shiur lamala? Is it not a sukkah? I mean, is it not? Isn't the sukkah just a certain kind of a structure, a binyan with a certain type of roof material? So where's the psul of lamala ma'asrim amma? That's what's difficult that's what's difficult in the Gemara. Like, I think you have machlokas later on by like esrog, right? Is there a shir lamala by esrog? So I think one shita holds if it's too big to hold in your hand, right? But that's because it's not capable of doing it's not roy really for the proper maisa of lakicha. So, but over here, I mean, in terms of the chefts of the sukkah, why should there be a psul lamala ma'asrim, right? Still is a binyan, still is a, has the proper materials. So that's what the, that's why you have a machlokas, that's what the Amorayim are trying to figure out. What kind of a shear, what kind of a psul is a shear lamala? So just to summarize it, I mean, we're trying to say like this. You know, let's just think about it ourselves. What kind of a psul would it be lamala? What type of a psul would you say is lamala? An upper limit. Well, like, would you say a mikvah has to be 40 sub, but if it's too big, it's no good. Well, what kind of a thing would that be? Why would there be such a thing like that? Right? You understand, lamata me'asar tfachim, you can't live in it. So it doesn't count as a binyan, doesn't count as a house. But what would be the psul of lamala? That's what's difficult. Yeah. You could say it becomes like a... Right. So you could look for a psul and say, well, too big is no longer a house for some reason. Right? In other words, psulim should be that it's no longer the cheftza. That's what we're looking for here. Something wrong with the cheftza because it's too big. So what could be wrong with the cheftza because it's too big? I mean, people live in big houses. I mean, that's the beginning of Erevin. The Gemara says, you know, kings have giant houses, palaces. No one ever said too big is... by houses, no one ever says too big is a problem, right? So Rabbah looks into the halachic objective of sukkah, right? He looks to the pasuk of Laman Yedu Doroseichem, right? And he says that what's the problem? The problem is that the cheftza of the sukkah, Chaim, the entity of the sukkah, should at least be roy to accomplish the minimal objective, right? The cheftza, the object, should be in line with the minimal objective. And he learns, Leman yedu doroseichem ki basukos hoshavti, means like this. Basukos teishu shivas yomim. You have to sit in the sukkah shivas yomim, right? And the Torah is saying, like Rashi says, yedu ki basukos hoshavti tzivisi leishev. So he holds like this. The whole objective of sukkos, obviously, is an awareness of midbar, and the sukkos of the midbar, whether it's Anei Akavod or sukkos mamish. So he holds, and there's a maisa of yeshiva, but he holds that the object of the sukkah as a structure should be a type of a structure that its normal maisa yeshiva incorporates the entity that you're in. In other words, that's like a minimal shear of the cheftza. That what is the minimal, what's the most minimal requirement in the object itself, in the object of mitzvah? He's saying that its ordinary use should be in line with the overall objective. So it should be a binyan, it should be a type of a structure that its yeshiva, that its normal maisa yeshiva includes an awareness of the structure. So that's what we were trying to say last time. It's a certain kind of a it's a binyan that has a certain certain type of dwelling within it, right? That has a certain, automatically has a certain type of a dira. It's not a dira of luxury, but it's a dira of an awareness of the building itself. Right, in other words, you should be leman yedidu rasecha and ki basukos oshavti. He's saying that's how he's dashing the pasuk. Basukos teishu shivas yomim, sit in the sukkah 7 days, so that all the future generations will be aware leman yedidu rasecha. So he's learning what type of a yeshiva has to be. It has to be a sukkah, make a structure she yeshivasa nikaris, that its normal dwelling incorporates an awareness. Why? So that people shouldn't understand through the ordinary, the Maisa Mitzvah itself should bring around an awareness of the Maisa of the Yeshiva itself should incorporate the Cheftza itself. Okay? So that's how he's learning. He's learning it's not really a psul of Shir, it's not like too big. There is no really, when you look further on the Gemara, you see, according to Rabbi, there really is no Shir Lamala intrinsically. It's just a din that the Cheftza, as a Cheftza, has to have a certain natural kind of yeshiva. Has to have a yeshiva that brings into it an awareness. Right? This is your question. Johnny's question was why can't the mitzvah just be to look up? That's a good question. But he's saying the structure of the Cheftza should be that it, that its normal Maisa Yeshiva automatically has that kind of a capability, has that kind of an effect, right? That's that. So it's not a problem of, so here's an interesting definition. It's not a problem that the sukkah is too big in terms of it's not being a sukkah. It's not a problem that the structure is not structurally a sukkah. It is structurally a sukkah. Right, but he holds the Cheftza itself should have in its natural use a certain kiyum of a certain kind of a maisa that has a that it has the objective of yediya itself. Right. So in other words, it's not really, it's an interesting kind of a psul. It's like saying it's not in the realm of Cheftza Shel Mitzvah. Because Cheftza Shel Mitzvah, this Cheftza Shel Mitzvah demands that its ordinary Maisa has some, that its ordinary usage includes the objective of the Mitzvah itself. The objective of the Mitzvah is that the future generation should know about should be aware of sukkahs. And the maisa should be a maisa that incorporates that awareness, kiba sukkahs tivisi leisure. That's how he's darshaning the pasuk. But Rashi, you see, Rashi on this pasuk, Rashi makes it clear over here that he's not taking out of the context of the pasuk the idea of what sukkahs is all about. It's together. I'm commanding you to sit in a sukkah that you're aware of what you're in, because the same pasuk also means that it should bring back an awareness of where you were. How do we get to an awareness of where we were? What's the vehicle of leman yedidu rasecham on the plain shot of midbar? Through the halachic structure of this mitzvah itself. By sitting in a sukkah, the halachic structure of the mitzvah should really work together with the halachic objective. So that's why this, the same pasuk of the objective, he's saying, he's not taking the pshat out of the pasuk. He's not saying the man yedidu rasechem ki basukos oshavti doesn't mean to reflect back on the purpose of sukkos, to reflect back on midbar. On the contrary, he's saying that very pasuk that describes the purpose of sukkos also has a halachic drash that the Cheftza of mitzvah should dovetail with that purpose. It's outside the realm of the Cheftza shel mitzvah if naturally in the yeshiva it doesn't bring some awareness to where you are, because that is because the Chefetz of Sukkah is the vehicle of the Leman Yedu. So the Maisa Mitzvah, it's no longer a Chefetz Shel Mitzvah, not because it doesn't have the structure, but because it's not, its yeshiva doesn't lead to the or to the objective. Right. It's an interesting thing. You know, it's like you have by tzitzis, where you say tcheles should remind you of the ocean, should remind you of the shamayim, right? You know, there are certain ideas over there that we have certain mitzvahs like that that they have an objective in the yediyah. And he's saying that when there's a mitzvah that has an objective of yediyah, the cheftza itself is no longer the cheftza of that mitzvah if it doesn't on a basic level bring some awareness to it. Okay? So that's Rabba's approach, yeah. Right? Right, and according to Rabba, it's not really a shiur of 20. It's a description of the Cheftza Shel Mitzvah. The Cheftza Shel Mitzvah has to be situated, has to be in a certain structure, has to be in a certain way that it's capable as a simple Maisa Yeshiva of bringing about the ultimate awareness. So if it's higher than 20, but the walls themselves are Magia L'Shach, Rabba says it's good. I mean, what's amazing about these kinds of Gemaras is how you, like, you know, the way they read the Mishnah is always astounding to me, right? Because the Mishnah just says, like Avram is saying, the Mishnah just says Lamala Me'asur Mama, but they hold, according to Rabba, it's not really Lamala Me'asur Mama. It has to be talking about a case where the walls are not Magia L'Shach. But if the walls were Magia L'Shach, it wouldn't be Lamala Me'asur Mama. Even Lamala Me'asur Mama, everybody would agree. So that's Rabba's approach, right? Saying it's not a shear in the Cheftza, really. It's not like we're saying the Cheftza as a sukkah is not a Cheftza heart. We're not saying it lacks as the entity of sukkah, Lamala Me'asur Mama. We're saying it lacks as the Cheftza Shel Mitzvah Sukkah, because the entity of the Mitzvah Sukkah, the halachic Cheftza of Mitzvah Sukkah, that the shame, that the Kedusha is Chalon, is a kind of an entity that its usage has to be linked up to its objective. Right? That's what makes it different from an ordinary Sukkah to a Sukkah that has Shel Mitzvah. It's Shel Mitzvah because its yeshiva can bring about the hakara of Midbar. But if it's a sukkah that when you walk in you have no relationship to the mitzvah of Schach, that doesn't qualify anymore as a Cheftza Shel Mitzvah. Why is it Shel? It's not Shel Mitzvah anymore, Yoltz. If it's outside of the objective, then it's outside the Cheftza Shel Mitzvah, right? Whereas Rabbi Zeira is saying what? What's Rabbi Zeira saying? It's not that he's not looking at it in terms of a problem of Cheftza Shel Mitzvah. He's looking at it in terms of what? Cheftza Shel Sukkah. Right? It's not an entity of Sukkah. In other words, it's not the structure of Sukkah at all. Sukkah is a kind of a building. Right? You know, you have to understand this chiluk, right? It's an important chiluk to understand. There's the definition of an entity itself, which is a secular definition. I mean, a mundane definition. Right? A lulav is just a palm branch. Existed long before the mitzvah of sukkahs. Right? It's a real thing. Torah oftentimes tells you, take a real thing and use it for a mitzvah. Okay? So, there could be two problems with the thing. Where ultimately, if we say it's possible for the mitzvah, there could be two problems with it. You could say for some reason it doesn't qualify as the special Cheftza Shel Mitzvah. Right? That's Rabba's way of looking at it. That a Cheftza Shel Mitzvah is not just anything that has the shame sukkah. It's an entity of sukkah that is nogeya somehow to kiyum of to a specific awareness, to a specific objective. But there could also be a problem. It's just not the chefza, right? So Rabbi Zeira is learning. There's a definition to what a sukkah is. It's a certain kind of a structure. It's a structure that its walls, that its total, that the overall chefza is designed to facilitate the function of the roof. Right? To facilitate the function of the roof. That's the overall design. It's like you have different kinds of houses. You have a ranch, you have a colonial, different kinds of things. You have different kinds of rooms. You have a dining room, a living room, a breakfast room, a sunroom, right? You have a greenhouse. You have different kinds of houses. They all have different kinds of objectives. So he says, sukkah is a certain kind of a house that its blueprints are designed for a certain objective. Right? We're skipping over Abaye's kasha for now. Right? We're just going to jump to Rabbi Zeira's answer. So he says, you'd have to be able to show an architect the blueprints, and he can tell you what kind of a building it is. Doesn't matter it's in the middle of the canyon. That doesn't change what the design of the building is. It has to have the shame sukkah. The only problem, he says, lamala maser mama, is it could lose its definition of the kind of building, like Johnny was saying. It no longer becomes that kind of a building. Right? But he says, that depends. If you expand it, then you can regain that shame. It's just a matter of, does it fit a certain kind of a description of sukkah, of the cheftza itself, of sukkah itself? Like you have by lulav. The Gemara goes through: is this species a lulav? Is that species a lulav? Those are questions in the entity itself, right? What does lulav refer to? What does sukkah refer to? It refers to a certain structure of building, right? So both of those are taking. See. Well, what I'm trying to accomplish by this kind of a presentation is to show you that if you think into it a little, you know, there is a real problem here. What kind of a psul is Esther Milamala Maser Mama? It's not an ordinary kind of a psul. And you see that the first two sheetahs are taking directions that we can see have real existence. There's a problem in the specialized chefza shel mitzvah, and there could be problems in the ordinary entity itself. And for both of them, 20 amos doesn't mean 20 amos, right? It means that in a certain situations, 20 amos could remove it from the chefza, could remove the shame in the chefza. But Rava is a stickler on the 20 amos, right? there's no exceptions for Rava. Right, that's what the Gemara says later. For Rabbi Zeira and for Rava, you could have things higher than 20 amos, but for Rava, you can't. But still, even with Rava, it's not just stam psul of 20 amos, right? It's not like halacha Moshe Mesinai of shiurim 20 amos. He holds it's what? He holds it's what? Arai. He holds it's arai. The psul is that a sukkah needs to have a certain quality of arai, right? That's part of what the specialized chefza shel mitzvah is. In other words, he's a little bit of a combination of both, you could say. He's saying a sukkah is not just an entity of tzel, right? Maybe he doesn't even agree with the entity of tzel business. But he's saying the problem with sukkah is that it has to be, it has to have a certain quality of arai. Well, that's what it sounds like he's saying. It has to have a certain quality of arai. So then he gets into trouble, though, right? What do you mean, a certain quality of arai? What if I make it very strong, but under than 20 amos, right? Okay, so that's the problem we're working with. So that he gives an answer. Yeah, what? No, he says, what did I mean? I meant to say, higher than 20 is no good because that's how a person basically has to make it keva. That's the way Rashi seems to learn. Sarach lasos yisoda seh mechitza seh kavu and shelo yibol. You must make it firm and fixed if it's higher than 20 amos. So then it's pasul automatically, but as long as it's lower than 20 amos, it's good. Why? Because it could be arai. Yeah. But the problem is, I mean, it sounds like a double talk, right? So that's what we were working on. So we had the Ran, and now we have Rashi. So let's just clarify what we said in the Ran at first. So what did the Ran say? But what I want to do is I want to take the Ran and I want to try to put it into halachic terms. See, that's part of our belief over here is that there are certain halachic categories that the Gemara is operating with, right? The Rishonim are speaking in a descriptive way to make it clear to us, but they're describing the problems. All of their descriptions and all of their pirushim are relating back to certain categories. Okay. But just to speak in categories doesn't give enough explanation. So they speak by way of explanation, and they're also trying to speak in terms of rayas and proofs or kashas. But ultimately, they're pointing to problems in halachic tsuros, halachic definitions, halachic forms, structures of mitzvah. So what is the Ran saying? So he says like this. He says that according to that Abaye's kasha was what? If you really hold that arai is necessary, right? So then what? So then it should be a problem if you make a very strong sukkah. Correct? Yeah. So he explains that Rava's answer is like this. Yeah. He says it's not possible to have a mitzvah like that. Because how could you say? He says, Be'ezah davar nishar, mabinyin roi l'shivah b'vad ol yosem ikan. Mishum hochi mashmalon de b'shiur she'efshar she'yasa bo diras arai tol yamilsa. Yeah. All you need is the shear. No, it's a yeah.
It's only if you're saying 20 amos is because of a rye, then it replaces.
No, it was a bias. Kasha was if you're going to tell me that the tzura of the chefzer shel sukkah, the form of a sukkah itself, is a binyan arai. No, it's arai is a certain kind of a structure. Now, so you're telling me, a bias kasha is, you're telling me, where's the psul of lamala me'esr mama? The psul, the psul, lamala me'esr mama, according to Rava, this is what Abaye thought, was not like a psul of Rabba and Reb Zera. It's a psul in that there's a certain positive quality that is required in the Chefetz of Sukkah. Right? It's a certain kind of a binyan. That's a real halachic structure. It's a real halachic form. What kind of a like, for instance, let's say you want to write a get or something or a shtar, so it has to be, you have to use something shel kayama, right? Permanence. You have to use an ink that has a permanent quality. You have to use a parchment that has a permanent quality. So there's a certain kind of quality of permanence. So Abaye thought he meant that over here there's a certain kind of a quality of temporary, right? It has to be a certain, that's part of the definition of the structure. The structure demands as a chefza a certain temporary existence. Right? And that's a quality in the thing. That's what he thought. That's what Abaye thought. That was his kasha. So that's what the Ran's explaining. He's saying, but there is no real tzura like that. You understand? If you look back in the Lashon of the Ran, that's what I'm trying to say over here. The Ran is saying, but there's no real tzura like that of temporary. But what do you say? Be'eze dover nisha'er im abinyan ro'oi l'shu... Well, no, I'm sorry. I take that back. So the Ran is learning like what? I take that back. The Ran is learning like we said last time. The Ran is learning it's simply impossible to give that kind of a mitzvah. That structure is... It is true that there is such a thing as ro'oi l'shiva, right? But he's saying there can't be a mitzvah like that. Correct? Because the mitzvah would be the impossible. It would be impossible to determine that kind of a chefza. It would be demanding a chefza that you can't, be demanding an entity that you can't discern, right? What tool do we have to determine if this is a 7-day structure, or an 8-day structure, or a 9-day structure? Gil, right? You don't have your little compass thing. Not gonna work. So therefore, he had to say that what? So therefore, but he had, but it has to be. But you see, this is where Rava is left. He holds there is some demand of Arai, but it can't be accomplished in, it can't be that it's instituted in terms of the actual quality of the Heftza, but he does hold it it exists. So he's saying the only way it could be expressed is what? Is Shir. All right, but can we clean that up a little bit? It can't be, there's a requirement for Arai. The plain shot of Arai is inequality in the structure, right? That it's falling down, it's temporary. But that can't be the tzivoy, right? So he simply has to find another expression for Arai. So how does he find it? He says it must be that through the shear it reflects Arai. That's the most we can get. Let's leave that go for right now. Let's see if we can come back to something a little more satisfying in a minute. But now take a look at Rashi. This is what I wanted to ask you. Take a look at Rashi. Do you think Rashi is saying something different? So let's read Rashi. I mean, a very big part of what we do here is to learn the Rishonim according to what they're saying. It's very bad, and it's a very easy thing to slip into, where you have an idea because you learned it from somewhere, and then you just try to cram every Rishon into something like that, right? But that's not what Rashi's saying. Take a look at Rashi, right? He's not saying that you can't discern it. He doesn't say that. He doesn't express it like the Ran, right? He doesn't express it as a problem of figuring it out. What does he express it as? He expresses it like this. Shapir dummy. If I make it keva, it's good. As long as it's less than 20. Why? Divada yesh bichlau keva arai. Vare osa ketora. So what is he saying? Whether you understand it or not, at least it's the first step to tell me what he's saying. Right? He's saying it's not a problem of not being able to determine if it is Arai. Right? What is he saying? There really is no quality of Arai, is what he's saying. There really is no quality of Arai like that.
How do you get that?
Yeah, where do you get that from?
In other words, the Ran was saying that if I had the right tool, the Torah could have commanded me to make a binyan arai. If I had a tester, if I had some sort of a device that could tell me with accuracy when the building will fall down, then the mitzvah could have been build a building that will fall down in 7 days. Right? That could have been the mitzvah. So what does that mean? That means to say that Arai is a true quality. There really is such a thing as Arai. It's like red, right? It's a quality. correct? It's a true quality. Rai is like red and keva is like blue. Right? But the problem is we don't have that kind of an instrument. That's all. We just don't have that kind of an instrument. It's a goal, but it's an unattainable goal. So it can't be the mitzvah because the mitzvah can't be an unattainable goal. Right? The mitzvah can't be an unattainable goal. But Rashi is not saying it like that. Rashi is saying, even if I needed a rai, if I had keva, I would have it too.
How does that exclude the fact that a rai is...
So he's saying that a rai and keva are not like red and blue. They're not like different, completely different qualities. They're different whats? Quantities. They're just different quantities. They're just different magnitudes of the same thing. Right?
Isn't he saying that as a solution, not as the problem? He's not saying, oh, but the problem is...
That's the solution for why the Torah can't give you a mitzvah of arai.
That is the alkorah.
Does the alkorah? Yeah. That's right. In other words, both the Ran and Rashi are looking for what Rava is saying. Rava is saying there's a plain shot to what the Torah is commanding you. But that can't be what it really is because of an impossibility. Therefore, we have to move over to a sheer idea, right? But what is the impossibility is what I'm trying to find out. And I'm saying if you look at the Ran and look at Rashi, they're expressing a very different impossibility. The Ran is expressing an impossibility of accomplishment, an impossibility of attaining, but not a conceptual impossibility. Conceptually, it's possible. Conceptually, the qualities are very different. The qualities are different. But practically, the Torah is a book of practical book. So practically, it's not attainable. So it's out of the scope of Torah. Lo nitna ha-Torah l'malachei ha-sharis, the Gemara says. That's it. Lo nitna ha-Torah l'malachei ha-sharis. So that can't be what the mitzvah is talking about. But the qualities are different. Whereas Rashi is saying, it's a fiction. There's no real difference. There's no real idea. There's no real positive arai. There's no real positive thing of arai that is removed from keva. Every keva also includes arai.
What about the Rashi, two Rashis before
that? Was Abaye. That was what Abaye thought. Abaye thought that.
No. The Shiva Siyaman on the Pasuk.
Right. Yeah, that would be enough. That's all you need.
He's defining the sukkah that's arai.
Yeah, that's right. He still has an idea of arai, but every keva includes arai. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, but he still can have a possibility where they're separate.
No. Doesn't the sula mean only seven? So how could that?
That's all you need.
You can have just arai, but you can't have just keva.
Are we in Havmina or in Hamas? Let's just concentrate on Maskan. He's saying, certainly included in Keva is Arai. Meaning to say, if the Torah says to you, make a sukkah Arai, I could make a building that would last 1,000 years. And I'll be Yotze. Why? Because somewhere in there is a building that's Arai. Well, we have to make sense out of it. That's what I'm saying. I'm just telling you, we have to make sense out of it. But he's not saying, because I wouldn't be able to tell which is the Arai building. The Ran says the problem is I wouldn't be able to tell which building is arai without some superhuman perception. But the Rashi is saying I would always have it. It's like a meaningless demand if I always have it in every situation. How could you say this is good only if you make it in the way every single sukkah must be made? That's the only way it's good. I demand that of you. I demand, one second, here's the mitzvah sukkah, but one second, one more thing. Make sure you make it in the way that there's no other possible way of making every single sukkah. Well, there would be no reason to say that. So he's saying, arai, to say, and it has to be arai, is just superfluous. How else could it be? It always is arai. Even if it's keva, it's arai. So then it must be, even above 20 amos is yesh b'chol keva arai. I mean, we still have that problem. What does he say? How's he doing? Ella, what? L'shem shir, right? That it can stand on yesedos arai. So that's the problem, though. Isn't that a problem with Rashi? So what does it mean yesedos arai? If every keva includes arai, so what does arai mean then? I'm saying the way Rashi seems to be learning over here now is he's learning that keva and arai is just a matter of is a difference of magnitude. It's a difference of quantity. That keva means arai means it lasts for 7 days. Keva means it lasts for many, many days. But something that lasts for many days also lasts for 7 days. There's no real quality. In other words, the way that Rashi's learning it, he's just saying like this, saying there's no quality in tsura. He's saying, arai, this is the point I'm trying to bring out. That Rava is learning, the psul has to be in the psul is in the is in the tzura of the has to he's looking for a psul in the tzura of the sukkah, in the form of the sukkah. So he's saying actual time that the thing lasts is not in the form of the sukkah. That's just a question of the duration of the thing. How long does it continue to exist? But that doesn't isolate, that's not really part of the tzura of the thing. Time is a different quality. Time is a question of how long it lasts. But that's not really an element of its structure. That's not an element of its form. You can only say, if you're dealing with keva and arai, he holds keva and arai are not qualities in structure. They're just descriptions of how long the thing lasts. Okay? And it's just a question of, so he's saying the pasuk can't be taken to mean have something that lasts 7 days. If the pasuk is telling you, make a sukkah that lasts for 7 days, there's no positive quality in the cheftz of sukkah of 7 days. There's no tzura like that in the cheftz of the sukkah. It's just a matter of saying you need something that will last for 7 days. But think about the last 100 days will last for 7 days too. There's no quality in the fact, there's no quality in the tzura of the cheftza, like has to be a certain size, it has to be. No, it's size and materials, those are qualities in the substance of the thing. How long it lasts is external to it. It's not in the substance. Torah tells you build a sukkah. So it's talking about structure and substance and cheftza and design. Those are the elements, those are the halachic elements of the requirements of sukkah. How long it lasts doesn't have a structural component. There's no structural component to how long something lasts. So to say something that lasts 7 days doesn't mean anything, because something that lasts 100 days also lasts 7 days. If I say use gidule karka, so then I can't use things that are not gidule karka, because it's a different substance, it's a different material, right? If I say it has to be for shades, then whatever it is. But the point is, he according to Rashi, Rava's answer was that I'm not looking for an actuality of the thing falling down in 7 days. I'm reading the pasuk in terms of halachic structure, in terms of halachic requirements of tzura, of material and form. There's no form of 7 days. You understand? There's no form of 7 days. That's not an entity of structure or material. That's just a fact. How long will the thing? How long does the? What's the duration of this thing? How long will? The thing itself is defined outside of time. Then you can say you can talk about how long it happens to continue to exist. But that's not. If I tell you, here's how you make a sukkah. Take this material, this structure, that structure. You can't say, and take 7 days worth of time and put it into that sukkah. Well, there's no such thing like that. There's no entity. There's no, that's not a structural component. That's not a structural definition. So therefore he says, I'm learning keva and arai. That's exactly Rava's response. He says, I'm learning keva and arai in terms of a structural component, not in terms of an actuality of time. I'm learning when the Torah says that the sukkah should have an element of arai, it has to be a halachic demand. It has to be a halachic demand. But the actual amount of time something lasts is not a halachic structure. It's not a halachic entity. So it must be arai converted into a halachic element. So shear accomplishes that kind of a conversion. But the point I'm trying to make is like this, that the Ran and Rashi are both saying, they're both saying very similar things. They're saying that Abaye thought Rava meant Arai as a true positive quality. But the Ran held that it doesn't, that Rava's response was there is such a thing like that, but that's not the mitzvah because it's unattainable. Whereas Rashi was responding, no, I'm talking about the pasuk is teaching you structural requirements, substantial and structural requirements, but the amount of time a thing lasts, that's not a structural or a substantial requirement. So it must be sheer. That's the only thing it could be coming to tell you, because that's the only structure that's the only element of a sukkah structure that's not outlined by the pasuk. So this must, that's what he's saying, Ella l'shem shiur. That's the only thing it could be coming to tell you. But what's the shiur? The shiur is something that what? See, you have to understand what I'm trying to say over here. We all have to understand. That was, you could look at Arai could be learned in two ways. Okay, you can look at Arai as, there is a certain quality of Arai. I'm not denying that there's a quality of Arai, because then the whole thing falls apart. No pun intended. Right? Arai means a flimsy kind of a structure. And like, let's say you build something, so you can make it really tight and solid with materials that are joined together in a permanent way, or you can make it with materials that are going to eventually wear apart. There is a difference between arai and keva, okay? But he's saying 7 days. That's not an entity of arai or keva. 7 days is not an entity of arai or keva. You understand? In terms of the amount of days something lasts, that's not a shear of Orion. That's not a definition of Orion Keva. If you want to talk about Orion Keva, you can talk about the construction. Say, was it made solid or was it made not so solid? But the Torah says Shiva Yomim, which is just an absolute finite period of time. In terms of time, That's not something that you can. That's not time itself is not something that's in the structure. You could try to make a correlation of this kind of a thing will last for this amount of time, that kind of thing will last for that amount of time. But as an entity of Shivas Yomim, there's no such thing. There's only, right? So that's what he's trying to say. He's saying you can't interpret the pasuk like you're saying. I'm not interpreting the pasuk to say Arai by definition as a 7-day thing. That doesn't make sense. In terms of Zman, there's no quality like that. There's no quality like that in terms of Zman. Zman is just a continuous quantity. Every day adds more and more and more. And the thing that lasts 100 days lasted 7 days too. There's no positive quality of the Zman. And he's looking for a halachic quality and structure. So the only way it could be expressed is a shear of things that what? Has to be in terms of the shear. See, what I'm trying to say, I'm saying that the Rashi is going one step further than the Ran. Rashi is giving a possible halachic interpretation of Keva and Arai. The Ran is saying, as a quality, it's simply not something roi, something that's possible to give as a mitzvah. Because as a true quality, there's no way to discern it. Rashi's saying that, Rashi agrees with that, he knows that, he agrees with that. But he's going one step further. He's offering a possibility of interpreting it into halachic terminology. Saying the only halachic interpretation of Arai and Keva as an actual requirement in the sukkah is how many days it lasts. You understand? Rashi is mindful of the Ran's problem. And he's saying, of course, it's not possible to have to say Arai and Keva in terms of the real Chefza, because that's just not a halachic tzura. So the only thing you can say is, if you want to give it a halachic form, you'd have to say a sukkah that lasts 7 days. But he's saying, but look at it, a sukkah that lasts 100 days also lasts 7 days. Because once you give it a halachic interpretation, the only halachic interpretation you can give it is just a matter of duration. But duration is a continuous thing. There's no quality. In duration, there's only anything that lasts 100 days also lasted 7 days. There's no way to interpret it. There's no way to take the quality of Arai and put it into a halacha category you can't put it into a halacha category of true quality like the Ran explains. But you also can't put it into the category of Zman, because Zman is just continuous. It's just a continuous quantity. There's no qualities of 7 days over 100 days. There's no unique quality of something that lasts 7 days over 100 days. Or it's like money. I can say, you owe me $100. If you give me $200, fine. You gave me $100. You can only have a halachic demand. And if you're going to turn it into a halachic category, the only way it can go is Zman. So it has to be an entity of 7 days. But an entity of 100 days is also an entity of 7 days.
Isn't 7 days considered Arai? Like, doesn't that express a certain quality?
But the point is, he's saying we can't really go for true Arai. So it has to be some halachic conversion of Arai.
But you're saying that there's no quality. There is, though. I don't understand what you mean. You're saying that there is no such thing as a quality because it's all this has to do with is quantity. But a certain quantity ends up defining a certain quality. You have a certain amount of something that will categorize it as this thing. But more of it will be a different kind of thing.
But he's saying that halachically, if you're going to darshan halachically, that it has to be, it has to last. In other words, you can have an halacha a certain thing. You could say, for instance, an animal that's too old can't be brought as a carbon. You know, as they say, whatever, a par is up to, an egel is up to a certain amount of time. But that means to say that you simply can't use that. You can't use something that has that quality of age anymore for the carbon. But it doesn't mean that an egel is only something that lives for a year and dies, right? You say that it transforms after a year and something else. But in terms of halachic requirements, what are you going to tell them? You have to sit in a building that lasts for 7 days, right? And if it lasts for 100 days, it's pasul. Why? Where in the requirement of 7 days is there a psul of 100 days? What I'm trying to say is that it has to be converted into a halachic category. There can be an idea of arai, but you can't demand as a cheftza shel mitzvah something that actually in its structure has the arai of 7 days. So there must be a conversion into a real category. And Rashi is just showing you the category that you would go to is time. But that type of a category has no psul of lasting. It doesn't make sense to say that there'd be a psul of lasting longer. So then you would have no expression of a rai at all. All you can say halachically, if you're going to go into zman, all you can say halachically is, it has to be a binyan shel shiva yamim. If a binyan is, and if it's of 100 days, it's also of 7 days. It doesn't cease being a building of 7 days at the eighth day. Because all that means is it's roi for 7 days. You can't put an upper limit on it. The only way you can translate a rai into something that would have a psul is if you're going to go into shir. Otherwise, there's no way to translate a rai into a psul, into a requirement that has any meaning. So let's think it over. But this is what I'm proposing. So this is the way the shir works. I propose things, you argue, and we see if we can come to an agreement. I'm proposing that the Rashi is taking the Ran one step further. The Ran is saying that you can't have an actuality of a rai in the Cheftza shel mitzvah because it's not discernible. And Rashi is saying that the first logical halachic interpretation of a rai would be zman, but that's meaningless because there's no way to limit that type of a definition. So it must be shir. You understand? But we have to think about whether that makes sense. But this is the key. The key is that Rava is explaining to Abaye, I don't mean the actuality of the thing as a positive quality. I mean a conversion into a halachic requirement. And Rashi's saying, but the conversion into time is a meaningless conversion because all it can mean is at least seven. There's no such thing as only seven in terms of time. So it must be, if you're going to want to turn it into a requirement that has some meaning that has a psul, if it doesn't have a psul, it's not a requirement, then it has to be shir. We just have to think, though, if that makes sense, to say that you can't have an idea of zman that can't go further than 7 days.